Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Hey, pet pals. Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Get ready to embark. Yeah, I did say embark on a world adventure. It spotlights some amazing dogs. Now, serving as our possum guide is one of the best dog photographers on the planet. He just unleashed a must-get book. It is called Working Dogs Through the Lens of Love and Duty. Not doo-doo, duty. Please welcome to our show, photographer and author and dog lover, John Fabiano. How you doing, John?
I'm doing fantastic, Arden. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, pet pals. John is the shining testament that you should pursue your passions. He is self-described as a nobody in the photography world just a handful of years ago. Since then, he has been honored as the International Documentary Dog Photographer of the Year. Talk about a bow wow. Now, how did he do this? You're about to find out. But first, we got to take a break. Y'all know the drill. Sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest is an award-winning photographer, John Fabiano. A lot of vowels in that name. He is the author of the book you've got to get your paws on. It is called Working Dogs Through the Lens of Love and Duty. Hey, John, let's dig in. Now, you're going to have some fun with me, I hope. I want you to tell all of us what you were doing in what I'm calling, you ready for it? BPD. Before photographing dogs, what were you doing?
Yeah, so I was working a pretty normal career. I worked in sales in a couple different industries, originally in apparel, then in the tech world. So I was selling software. Some jobs I really liked, others that were just not as fulfilling. But when COVID hit, I invested in a camera for the first time. I always had a bit of an interest in photography and found that I just absolutely loved photographing dogs. And when the idea came to me to travel the world and photograph dogs in different cultures, it was one that just consumed me and I couldn't kick. And I saw an opportunity to make it happen. I took a bunch of small steps to get there and then took the leap and started traveling full time for what I thought would be about a year. And it was about 3 years total that I was pursuing it full time.
Now, did you scratch off a lottery ticket or... What? That's a big, big mission.
Yeah, I probably planned it for about 5 years before I started traveling, when the idea was small, but always putting money away with this idea.
And remember during COVID, we actually had money in the bank because we weren't going anywhere.
Yeah, I would say during COVID is when I saved a chunk of my money. And then I got to the point and I sold everything that I had of value, which wasn't much, but I just got as much cash in the bank as I could and said, all right, I have some savings. Let's go spend it on something that I've dreamt of doing.
What was the first real camera that you got? You got your paws on.
It was a Nikon DSLR, the D750. It's still the camera that I use today. I'm wanting and in need of an upgrade, but we're not quite there yet financially.
Well, you've been on our show, so maybe we'll sell at least 3 copies of your book, Working Dogs, and that should help, right?
Yes, that's the next goal of is upgrading the gear.
So you get the camera, but, and this is important for others that want to follow their dreams, John, you started reaching out to people, right?
Yeah, I the first person I reached out to was a photography teacher, because I said, if I'm going to be serious about this, I don't want to just have it as something on the side. I snap photos here and there. And he just pushed me to become a better photographer, taught me how to use my camera, gave me a lot of good advice along the way. And then when I was ready to start traveling, I really mapped out where I wanted to go, the relationships I wanted to see in the world. And I was not hesitant to email anyone and everyone that I found interesting and said, can I come visit and photograph your dogs?
I love it. So who's the shout out to your teacher?
His name's Colin Gordon. He's in Buffalo, New York. He is a fantastic photographer. He does weddings primarily. But if you need him for anything, he is an artist in the truest sense.
Oh, that's great. So your book, it's a big book, guys. It's over 230 pages. And I have really strong arms now because I've been weightlifting his book, Working Dogs. It's beautiful. It's like National Geographic, you know, meets Life magazine. So you are on this adventure. I don't want to spoil everything, but if you could kind of share, I think there's 20 chapters, correct?
Yes.
And if you want to know this, the American Kennel Club has recognized 201 dog breeds. And everybody knows there's, you know, the poodle and the corgi and blah, blah, blah. But your book is identifying different kinds of dogs that put the capital D in diversity. I'm just looking really quickly. I want us to go by the chapter. So one of the ones I want you to talk with, if you don't mind, can you be our tour guide, John, on this?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to.
All right. So we're going to go to Australia, matey, down under. And you met a woman, Jan McIntyre. Kelpies. What are Kelpies? I know about Australian Shepherds and Border Collies and Corgis, oh my, but Kelpies?
Yeah, I found that the Kelpies are the standard there. That's the breed that stockmen and women have used to move their livestock around massive paddocks. And I was unaware of that breed really before I started researching it a bit more. I always thought of Collies and Sheepdogs similar to you. And we found that a lot of the farmers there that I met would use a mix of them. Kelpies seem to be the greater number of them. And Kelpies, they describe them as independent thinkers.
That's a nice way to say my way or the highway.
Yeah, they say they would keep both. And they say with the Kelpies, you tell them what to do. And they're like a teenager. They say, yeah, I know. I got this. And Collies, on the other hand, you tell them what to do. And it's like, yeah, yes, of course. And what's next? Yes, and what's next? Yes, aye, Captain. So they like to use a mix of them. But Kelpies were the standard. That was the breed. That was my first real exposure to it. And watching them work, you can tell, especially being around really young Kelpies, they're born with it. They're born to muster.
Had you ever been to Australia before?
No, my first time.
Was that one of your first ventures? Did you just leave Buffalo, New York and say, see ya, going all the way to the other side of the world?
No, the first place I went to was Germany. Australia was probably around country number 9 or 10 on the list of where I went.
All right. So segue to Germany, because you went into the dogs that are being trained for being police work and protection, right? In Nuremberg?
Yeah, that was my first real day of shooting, was going and watching a dog training facility. It's like a club where people that just have a passion for training working breeds, German Shepherds, Malinois, there was a big Schnauzer there, and watching what these dogs are capable of was just incredible. I got to see the bite work in action, putting on the big suit.
Come on, share a little bit, because who's the brave or, well, maybe a little brain cells missing that says, sure, I'll volunteer to put that bite sleeve on.
at the end of the day, I did it. And it's something, it was very eye-opening to me because you watch videos online and you see dogs sprinting and jumping and lunging and grabbing on. But then when you see it in person and you watch the training, you see realize how controlled it is. These dogs, they put a special collar on and they know when that collar goes on, they're going to practice bite work. They're only going to bite the sleeve or the suit. They would never. So when I had it, I have a dog that's, it's got its entire mouth on my arm. It is biting down. It is really making a lot of noises, but I'm petting its head and it's kind of like cooing a little bit. And there's no worry that it's just going to like latch onto my hand or anything, because this is an exercise that they've worked on and trained to the point of first biting the sleeve and then putting the sleeve on and things like that. So they know that's the only thing that they are ever trained to bite. So it was really impressive. And after watching it, I didn't have any fear giving it a shot myself.
Oh my gosh. So you're a brave man. You also did another place in Ireland. I'm really curious because you were focusing on search and rescue, and I fell in love with the photos of Doris and Daphne. Tell everybody what kind of dogs they are.
They are Rottweilers.
All right. I love Rotties. Tell us about what that adventure was about.
Yeah. So I originally went to Ireland to focus on what they refer to as restricted breeds. These are dogs that they think are inherently dangerous. And there's a lot of regulations. They have to be muzzled in public, things like that. Surrounding that, you know, sort of the reputations that some breeds get, which oftentimes I think are...
What are the other breeds that have to be muzzled in public?
Off the top of my head, it's Doberman, German Shepherds, Pitbull Mixes, Cane Corsos, Dogo Argentinos. There's a 11 or 12 different breeds, I believe.
Wow.
And I wanted to focus on the relationships people had with these dogs. They selected them knowing that there's going to be regulations on them. But I really love those Rottweilers, which are one of the restricted breeds, showing that when they have a proper trainer and handler and owner who knows how to handle a working breed, what they're capable of. And I believe at the time they were the only two Rottweilers that were doing search and rescue in all of Ireland. Just because they had trainers who knew how to work these breeds, who have a history as working dogs. And it's really just showing, like, if you get a certain breed, you have to know what's the temperament, what's the skill set, what was it originally bred for, what are the instincts, and using those in a positive light shows what you can make of these dogs. And that's what Doris and Daphne were. They were really incredible and special.
What were
dogs.
Their personalities like when they were off the clock?
They were really docile, really just sweet dogs. And then you see when it's time to start training, like they get to work.
Yeah.
And they're doing search and rescue. So they know that there's a scent. They give them something and they have to go find the scent. And I would be on a path photographing them. And I remember, I think it was Doris coming by and gave like a quick sniff and then was on her way. Like, I don't care who this is. I have no interest in this person. It is not the scent I'm looking for. And then she kept going. And then at the end, they reward them. Like Doris wanted to play with the ball. That's her reward. So to them, it's all a game. But it's really,
I love it.
In many cases, doing life-saving work. People who are missing, people with Alzheimer's who may get lost. They've helped search and rescue for people like that. So it really is incredible work that these dogs do. But it's funny, at the end of the day for them, it's just a game and something they do to really... utilize the instincts and the capabilities that they have.
Hey, Pet Pals, we're speaking with John Fabiano. He is the author of the book, Working Dogs. We're going to have some fun because when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about things like truffle dogs. How about monkey dogs and lobster dogs? All of this and more after we take this break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages. Talk to the paw.
Hi, this is Amy Shearer.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Moore.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails and who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Charles Martin Smith, director of A Dog's Way Home, and you're listening to the O Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest is John Fabiano. He is an award-winning photographer. He is the author of a great book called Working Dogs, Through the Lens of Love and Duty. And he's been how many countries? 19 and counting? Or have you added since I did some research on you?
We're up to 24 that I've done for photographing dogs. Yeah.
24. Wow. And when you're not on the job photographing dogs all over the world, do you want to give a shout out to your sweet dog?
Oh, Viola, my girl. Yeah, Viola is a, German Shepherd, Australian Cattle Dog, and Bloodhound is the top breed that she is. She's a mix of like 11 or 12 dogs. She was a part of a litter that was dumped on the side of the road in South Carolina, and they were making their way up to a shelter in Canada. And I reached out when she was in transit and said, can I have her? They said yes, and I've had her ever since. She's been to 4 or 5 countries with me so far. So she's traveled.
Which countries? What are a few?
We went to Costa Rica for about 4 months a couple years ago. And then now we live in the Netherlands. She's been there. And then just recently we went to France.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, Viola's bounced around. She's been into Canada because I live right on the border in Buffalo, my hometown.
Oh yeah. And how old is Viola now?
She is 7.
7. So does her bark change when she goes to France? Does she roll her R's?
I don't think Viola's smart enough to learn one language, let alone two.
Snap that. Okay. All right. And you also have a two-legger with you. Who is?
Yes, Stephanie, my wife. My lovely, fantastic wife, who has been unbelievably supportive and just along for the ride with me for so much of it.
Does she take photos too, or what's her...
I always call her, she's an unpaid employee of mine. All my employees are unpaid, including myself. And Steph does some videography. She likes to do some behind the scenes. So I like to see that too, because it's not often that like I get to see myself in action doing it. So she's snapped a handful of shots of me behind the camera, which is great.
Now think about, how do you say to somebody, if you're in the Amsterdam or you're in Buffalo, New York, and you're trying to reach, let's go to somebody in Japan and say, hey, I want to come to your country and talk about dogs that are keeping away nuisance monkeys from farmlands, and without them saying, scam.
It was much harder at the beginning because I truly was a nobody, and I didn't even have like an Instagram page or any real photography other than some photos of Viola to show them. And I slowly built together a portfolio, which I think gave me a little bit more legitimacy that I've gone to these countries and I've done this. I had an overall goal that I was working on to see these different countries, and I went with intention, I would say. I remember my brother, Andy, who just supported me through it all. And in the beginning, I was talking to him and he goes, imagine if someone from the other side of the world called you and said, I want to take pictures of Viola. And how would you feel? And it's like, I think I saw that in so many people that there was excitement, and we connected immediately over a love of dogs. And they wanted to show off their dogs to someone who was passionate and wanted to photograph it.
That is awesome. So monkeys. Okay. What's going on in Japan? There was some town, Azumino. I don't know. I'm not good. I just love sushi. But there's a border collie and a breed called a Kaiken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two just working breeds. And monkeys are typically a nuisance on farmland.
What are they doing?
They go in, they tear apart crops, they eat them. Oh. So farmers are looking for ways to get rid of them. And there's a lot of the lethal ways to get rid of them, which you'll find farmers looking for an alternative. They don't want to just be killing off these wild animals. So they'll bring dogs in, and the dogs will come and chase the monkeys away. They'll live out within the crops and protect them. And as soon as we would show up, the monkeys would scatter. Like they knew.
Really?
The dogs were there. They didn't want any part of it. And the goal, it was amazing that there was never any conflict intention.
Good.
They didn't want the monkeys and dogs to meet. They had incredible recall. They just wanted to chase them off and say, this is an area where there is danger. Stop coming here. Stop eating the crops.
So then you also had a use for their dog hair too, right? They do. What did they do?
Yeah, I would say he was like a dealer. He would he would have bags of drugs.
Bags of dog hair? Hey,
yeah,
man.
He would leave them with it. Yeah, let me get a dime bag of dog hair. And he would leave it with them, and they would scatter it all around the crops. So just the scent was always there for the monkeys as well, that, you know, dogs are in the area. The monkeys are smart enough. They've seen dogs. There's dog hair. There's the smell of it. And it would become an area where they would avoid.
Oh, my gosh. This is awesome. I hope you're having a fun time. Are you doing all right here, John?
Yeah,
you
I'm having a
all
blast.
These crazy questions from me.
Yeah, it's I could talk dogs all day, so I'm having
all
fun.
Right. Now we're going to go to Italy. I've been to Italy. Big thing there is truffles. Set us up for Burba and Maya. Those are the dogs.
Yeah. Yes. So we went on a truffle hunt.
Nice.
I always thought of pigs as doing truffle hunting.
So did I.
A truffle pig was always the thought in my mind. And actually, my in-laws a couple of years ago went to Italy and went on a truffle hunt with dogs. So that's the kind of thing that I just tuck in the back of my mind. If I'm ever in Italy in the area, I want to see truffle hunting dogs. And they found that the dogs just do a lot less destruction to the forest.
Pigs really will tear. What do pigs do versus dogs with paws? That's the difference.
I think they just really tear up the ground in the landscape. Ooh. Where dogs are more, they'll find the truffle and dig in that certain spot. And pigs are more likely to eat the truffle.
Oh,
it's harder to wrestle it away from them. So it is.
Yeah, those are big pigs too.
Yeah, it's an adrenaline rush when you see the dogs start digging. Because if you just let them dig, the dog's going to eat the truffle. They have a taste for them. They have a smell for them. They like them. So the guides we were with, as soon as they saw that the dogs were digging, it's like you got to run. And as soon as they'd see the truffle, a hand would go in and they'd grab it. And it was like a big celebration to find the truffle.
Have you ever eaten truffles before?
Yeah, I had had truffles before. And then the truffles we brought back, they shaved right off and we ate them, you know, a half hour after we found them in the forest. So it was awesome. A really, really cool experience.
What's Burba and Maya like? Burba's a weird breed. I can't even say it. It's just Italian.
I'm going to butcher it, but it's like Legato Romanogo.
Okay. You did pretty good. Yeah.
My surname's Fabiano and my Italian is not as strong as you might think. And they are classically trained for truffle hunting. That was the first I really had exposure to that breed and heard of it and knew of it. But it's a type of dog that has just been bred for that type of work for generations.
It's a good sized dog too.
Yeah. They were probably 25, 30 pounds. Okay. But they moved, like jumping over trees and logs and in and out of holes and everywhere. Just, you could tell how much fun they were having throughout the whole experience. And that's the thing I've seen with a lot of working dogs across the world is the dogs are just living to the fullest. They're having so much fun throughout
this. That's what life should be, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's not like they're, I think of people going to work. This is the dogs going to work. They couldn't be more excited.
Yeah. Now, I want to get back to the States because years ago, I lived in California and I had not one, but two members of the original SoCal Surf Dogs. It was Chipper and Cleo, but we called them Chip Ahoy and Cleo. They were having fun with, and they loved to ride the surfboards. But you went to Portland, Maine, and tell everybody about Captain Eric, and I guess his dog's name was Briggs. What were they doing?
So we were going on a road trip around the Northeast, Steph, Viola, and I last year. And at this point, I knew that I was working on this book. And I was like, what's a working dog that I can find during this road trip?
Oh, and good. Business expense.
Yes. And I'd heard of lobster dogs in the past that like are fishing dogs more so.
Okay. All right.
So it's always like reaching out in a Facebook group or like something like that and just saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. Does anyone have a lead or know anybody? And Eric reached out. He said, I own my own lobster fishing company and my dog Briggs is always on the boat with me. And he's a guy who started a business by himself. It's called EAT Lobster. And
EAT, come on, slow down. Yeah. What does that spell?
And he showed me such a good day with him and Briggs on the boat. And he started the business by himself. He'd be out on the water all the time alone if it wasn't for Briggs. So it's really the companionship, camaraderie. If anything is to happen, he's got Briggs with him.
What kind of dog is Briggs, would you say?
He's a black lab.
Okay. So he's a good sized dog. That's right.
Perfect for the water. If he falls in, he can swim. And just brings the enthusiasm, high energy. And you tell him to drive the boat, he jumps up next to the wheel. You say lobster, he puts his paws up on the side and looks out in the distance.
Really?
Yeah. So he had a
this
handful
is so
of,
much better than sit, stay, leave it, right? I'm sure Briggs is like, yeah, baby, give me some clever commands.
Eric will send me a video just him saying lobster in the house and Briggs comes running through and from the other room. Like he just loves going on the boat. And it was really cool to watch someone just doing their everyday work and having a dog by their side throughout all of it.
There's so many chapters to this book that you've created. This is really a work of art. Is there a special tale we haven't discussed that you would love to share with our zillions of listeners and viewers?
I would say the most important one to me is the hospital therapy dogs and witnessing the work that they do. I've had tears in my eyes behind the camera twice, and both of them were instances being in hospitals and watching what these dogs do for people on some of the hardest journeys that they're going through in their lives. So just seeing what a dog laying in a bed with someone who's stuck in a hospital bed can do and bring them to tears, and someone breaking down who just passed a dog in the lobby and said, "Can I stop and pet him?" And this woman just started crying and said, "Thank you. This is the highlight of my day. Like, I needed this so much." And the dogs aren't doing anything special other than just being dogs and the presence that they give, and the mood change as soon as they walk in the room. So a portion of sales from the book is going to a cancer institute, Roswell in Buffalo, in my hometown, where my brother works as a doctor. And then the other one is Animas in Portugal. And they do therapy dog work all up and down the country of Portugal. So it was that moving to me. And it was very important to me in publishing this book that I wanted to give back to dogs. And it was a no-brainer that it was going to be hospital therapy dogs.
So saying that, I want to make sure that people know how to follow John Fabiano. And can you share Facebook, Instagram? How do people keep tabs? And if they want to help the hospitals in Portugal or in the States, how do they get to do that?
Yep. So I am on both Facebook and Instagram. My profile is Wags Around the World.
Wags Around the World. That's easy.
Yes. And I post regularly about both these organizations just because they're that important to me. I post Roswell Cancer Institute social media, Animas, their social media. And it's the type of like uplifting things that you go on social media to see these dogs in action, to see the smiles they put on people's faces, especially the children. Like, no kid ever wants to be in a hospital, and neither as a guest or a patient. And to see the kids as patients who are scheduling their visits on the days the dogs are coming, because they know if I have to go to the hospital, I want to hang out with the dog in the process. And just, it was really, really special to see the positive impact they have.
So we ask a lot of our guests, what would be a superpower that dogs have that you wish you had, and why? What's something that dogs do that you, and don't say lift your leg really high.
I think it's one that I look at them as role models for like enjoying every little day and every little thing. It's appreciation of the smallest things in life, which I think we get too busy and our brains get too cluttered, that like little instances can bring us so much joy if we'd stop and take an appreciation for them. Every single time I come home, Viola celebrates me like I just won the Super Bowl and I'm returning home. To just appreciate the things that you love in your life that much. It's something that I look at dogs as role models in that respect.
I love it. Hey, everybody. We have had John Fabiano on. He is the author of Working Dogs. You got to get his book. And His Heart Does Beat Dog. And you have been an amazing source of inspiration. Follow your dreams, folks. He just is living proof of that. I also at this time want to do a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We are the largest pet radio network on the planet. Hopefully we'll get to the moon and maybe try to brag on that one too. But please check out all the shows on Pet Life Radio. You can follow me. I got a weird name, Arden Moore. Real name. Go to YouTube, go to Facebook. My passion is helping save lives of pets. So I have now a cat and two dogs trained to help me to teach veterinary approved pet first aid all over the world. We teach in person, via Zoom, and self-paced. So check out Pet First Aid for You. And I do a shout out to my team, Kona, Casey, and Nova Six Toes. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, saying just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.